Let the church say amen. Well, y'all were singing like y'all really want to go on into heaven. And I don't know about you, that's my plan. My plan is to do what thus saith the Lord. So in the day that he calls me from labor to the other side, I can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. It's good to see everybody this morning. Hope and pray all is well with you. And it's good to have you that are visiting this morning. I hope and pray something from the Word of God will cause you to think about your soul salvation. And then those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you need to understand, like I'm beginning to learn to understand, that God holds us accountable for the souls of men.
That's right.
So my job, my responsibility as a gospel preacher is to proclaim to you the acceptable year of the Lord. If there's ever been a time that you and I, as the members of the body of Christ, need to come out of the closet,
right?
We need to come out. Everybody else is out of the closet. We're coming out. Amen. And so this morning, as we look at this lesson out of Acts chapter 5, verses 17 and following, the apostles here have been thrown into prison. Not yet. They are being questioned by the Sanhedrin, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. They're going into the temple and they are preaching the gospel of Christ. And somebody might say, well, what is the gospel of Christ? I'm glad you asked. I will tell you what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I delivered unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I've also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so what is the gospel of Christ? It is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in order for you to really understand, you got to understand first and foremost, where you at? Amen. This goes for both saints and those that have not obeyed the gospel. You got to understand where you're at. And if you're in Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves or have put on Christ Jesus. I remember I used to be right here. Oh, okay, I got a couple witnesses. What about the rest of y'all? But I was here, and I wanted to get in here. And so how do I get into them? Galatians chapter 3 says, I must be buried for the remission of sins. But there's something I got to do before my baptism. I got to hear the word of God. I got to believe it. I got to confess that he is the Son of God. And then I got to be, hear, believe, confess, repent, help me out, and be baptized. I'm glad somebody knows. And in order for me to be in Christ, I got to be willing, first and foremost, to deny my very existence. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And as you obey from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, the body, the kingdom, the church, is what God sent his son to die upon, that rugged cross. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And my job is to proclaim to you this gospel, this death, this burial, this resurrection, and how you can come out of darkness and be part of this marvelous light and get a brand new start. You ever had a new start?
Yes.
You ever had a new start?
Yes.
Oh, some of y'all little bit funny. Ever been overloaded with debt?
Amen.
And you go to the courts and you ask the courts to overturn all of it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all just keep living. You'll find out.
And when you get this brand new stuff, how do you feel?
Wonderful.
You feel wonderful. You feel great. Why? Because you no longer have something hanging over you. Well, that's what it is that means to be in Christ. Amen. He paid my debt sin that I could not pay. He delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the kingdom, into the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and round about verse number 22. And I'm going to give you the scripture so you can write them down. Because if I quote them, you'll be here till midnight. I don't have nowhere to go, though.
That's right.
Okay? I know y'all looking at your clock say, we're leaving at 12. You can do whatever you like. But church, I've come this morning to encourage our hearts and to remind us who we are and the mission that has been set before us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul, as he writes these words to the church at Corinth, remind the believers, since you've obeyed from the heart the gospel and you've been added to the body of Christ, to the church, now that you are in Christ Jesus, guess what? You're a brand new creature. And I guess that's what motivates me. That helps me to know that because of my obedience to God's gospel, that I am no longer held accountable for all of those old sins. And you know something? If he forgave me, you know what I did? Huh? I forgave myself. So I live every day like it's a brand new day. Why? Because his blood constantly cleansed me of all of my sins and iniquity. And so Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You talk about a new beginning. You talk about the acceptable year of the Lord. It's when you obey from the heart the gospel. God frees you from all of the sin that you've created. Amen. And you know, and I don't know about you, what a burden that lifted off of my shoulder. But he didn't stop there. As he gave you forgiveness, he also gave you a J-O-B. And the J-O-B is not Caesar's.
Right.
I better say that again. The J-O-B he gave you is not Caesar's. Mm-hmm. The job that he's given us, Luke 19 and verse number 10, is to seek and to save that which is lost. And verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And verse 21 is where I drop my hat, because God did something that I cannot do.
That's right.
He gave the very best of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And all he asked me to do is to tell you about his son.
Yes, sir.
All he asked me to do is to love you and you are unlovable.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
All he asked me to do is to keep myself unspotted from the world. Well, how am I going to do that, Lord? I tell you what, I'm going to give you my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And when I give you my spirit, and if you feed my spirit, it will guide you, it will direct you, and it'll keep you on the straight and narrow.
Amen.
And so he said in verse number 21, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Boy, that's some powerful stuff. That the God of heaven looked down the corridor of time and could see us in 2016 and said, y'all need a savior. And I tell you what, he's already died. I just need you to obey what's written in this book.
Amen.
So in Acts chapter 5, we find a couple of God's disciples as they proclaim this message to a hostile world. They get upset with them. See, people get upset with me too.
Amen.
But I don't understand. You ain't getting upset with me. You're getting upset with God.
Right.
See, they didn't understand that. They didn't understand that they getting upset with the apostles, they were really getting upset with God.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, when people tell you the truth, sidebar, when somebody tell you the truth, you ever get mad at them?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Come on, y'all, work with me.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
mad at them.
Yeah.
You get so mad that sometimes you even stop speaking to them, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes we get so out of whack with one another that we forget why we're really here. Mm-hmm. We're here to proclaim the message of the cross. Amen. And so these individuals, as they proclaim the message of the cross, some things happen. They were in the temple and they were praying and teaching that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
The Bible says in round about verse number 17, then the high priest rose up and all they which were of the sect of the Sadducees and were filled with indignation. They were mad. You know, I know some of y'all get mad when I get talking about y'all's riches and all this stuff that you got, and you won't give God half the time that you give him.
Amen.
Yeah, I know you get mad at me. I know you look at my phone, but that's okay. Because, church, you need to understand, one day you're going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
One day you're going to die.
Amen.
And when you stand before that judgment seat, what are you going to say to you? You know how you give me all these excuses. Huh?
Yeah.
You know how you can't get here because of this and that, and the dog died, and I. You know how we act. But one day, he's gonna call you in question. And when he calls you into question, ain't gonna be no excuses. You can blame me all you like, but it ain't gonna hold water, because we're gonna all stand before him. And so the Sadducees, now they done teamed up with the Pharisees. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection.
Right.
The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, so they were at odds with one another. Sound like us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But you know when somebody pushes the wrong button and somebody make you mad? Boy, me and Kathy can really get together.
Well, yeah.
We hate them up.
Yeah, no.
We don't do that. Not us. I'm talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, y'all. Leave me alone. But it's a powerful thing, because now they have banded together to stop the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says in verse number 18, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Boy, if they'd have let me out of jail, I'd have been like them other crooks. I'd have been gone. But see, when you understand who's in control of your life,
amen.
Prison bars don't stop you. The world doesn't stop you. Only thing that stops you is right here.
Amen.
And I guess that's why you can't stop me. Because just because you shackle my feet and my arms, my mouth will always give the praise and glory that's due him.
Amen.
And that's what the child of God has to always keep in mind. The Bible says in verse number 20, and stand and speak in the temple to all the people all the words of life. And when they had brought that, they had entered into the temple early in the morning. Early. Early. It didn't say late, huh?
No.
They were on time?
Yeah.
No, they were early.
Daybreak.
They were early.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss that. Early in the morning, and they taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found were shut up with all safety, and the keeper standing out without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Pretty scary.
Yeah.
Because see, if you understand anything about Jewish custom, if you were in charge of the prison,
you know, just like them convicts that escaped.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The lady that got on there to talk about, we don't know what happened, she'd been the first one gone.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. They didn't play. If your job was to secure the prisoners and they were gone, you automatically know that you were going to be killed.
Because it was your job. Boy, that's... I'll leave that alone. The Bible says in verse number 23, verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, They doubted of them whereunto they were grown. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then when the captain with the officers brought them out without violence, for they feared the people, lest there should be stone. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, didn't I tell you not to talk about this Jesus? I'll paraphrase that.
You need to stop talking about this Jesus, Dan. Is that all you know? That's us, right?
Right.
Amen.
He says, didn't we strictly command you that you should not teach in the name? And behold, don't miss this verse. See, because when we all speak the same thing, when we all walk by the same rules, when we all understand that you've been saved for the purpose of saving others, guess what will happen to Apple Valley? So if we ain't growing, what we doing? Huh? If we're not proclaiming the word, what we doing? Because these were two. More than any two up in here. And when we proclaim the gospel the way it is written in the book, the Bible says in that verse, he says, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine, and intending to bring this man's blood up on us. But I love knife-toting Peter. Cuss you out at the drop of a hat. The Bible says, and Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Title of the lesson this morning, talking loud.
Saying nothing.
How many of us are talking loud? And really ain't saying nothing. And see, the way we live our lives speaks volumes of what we really believe in. The way we commit our lives in service to the Lord, it speaks volumes of what we really truly believe. The way we serve God really truly talks about where your faith really is. These individuals here were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. Then the high priest them said, look at what you've done. You have filled all of Jerusalem with this doctrine, intending to bring this man's blood up on us. Church, that's some powerful stuff there. That when you and I really practice what we preach, really.
Amen.
And when we practice what we preach, guess what? Men and women will be drawn to the cross. Men and women will come asking questions. What must I do to be saved? Men and women will come and say, how can you be so happy when I know good and well you're miserable? How can you smile and be content in the midst of all the tragedy that goes on around you? Because you understand who's in control.
That's right.
You get to be like David. As David was being pursued by Saul, and as he got up on Saul, David sat down and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still water. He, who's your he? Huh? Who your he this morning? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then David gets comfort from the very words that he speaks. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I don't fear no evil. You know why? God is with me. Who's with you this morning?
Amen.
If he's really with you this morning, we got to turn this valley upside down.
Amen.
If he's really with the church, I need to depend on you 24/7.
Yes, sir.
Amen, Walls. But you know what that requires? Matthew 16, 24. Total rejection of you. That's the biggest problem in America. Nobody wants to deny himself nothing. Everybody thinks they got the right answer. Amen. Even in the church. Don't we think we got the right answer? Amen. Judges chapter 21 and round about verse number 25. The Bible says, in those days, there were no kings in Israel.
Every man did what he thought was right in his own eyes. Look around us.
Look around us. Who told you can come when you feel like it? Huh? Who told you can give $10 and it's okay to the Lord? Who told you that?
Y'all quiet. I don't know how I got there, but that didn't cost you nothing.
But church, we need to understand, sometimes all we are doing is talking loud and really saying absolutely nothing.
Amen. See, as we speak, 1 Peter chapter 4, round about verse 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. My job, my responsibility is to speak the oracles of God. He wants you to know that you need to be saved. You need to come out of your sin. And how do you do that? By obeying his plan that he's laid out before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, when God had made the world and he got to man, he made him in his own image. And if you missed yesterday, you missed a good lesson.
Yeah.
Because woman was not made. You'll have to go on the website to hear that lesson. She came out of the man. So how do you get a man and a man? Huh? How do you get a woman and a woman? There's no way. Because woman was taken out of the man. After God had made man, he placed them in a quiet, I'm just saying quiet, peaceful oasis. Be fruitful. We ain't got that thing right yet, have we? Be fruitful and multiply. When man messed up in the garden, Genesis chapter 1, everybody played the name, the blame game. Never did that? Well, I'd like to be here, but you know, me and her have a problem. You know how we play the name game?
Yeah.
Adam, blame the woman. The woman, blame the devil. And the devil said,
I did it.
I'm trying. And he's still doing it. And we know he's still doing it. And we just constantly give in to what he's doing. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse 15, God made a way to reconcile man back to himself. He made that way through his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 verse 16, he sent his son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. As a result of that, Jesus dies on the cross. And he says, if you desire to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You must obey from the heart my plan that's laid out for mankind. John chapter 8 and round about verse number 31. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't know about you, I'm free. And you know what makes me free? Is knowing this book right here and applying it to my everyday life. So when Satan throws his little darts at me, boy, I can just bounce. I'm a ninja Christian. Get on out of here, y'all. Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me. Church, when you... y'all don't hear me this morning. Satan is constantly throwing at me. And I'm
yes,
here. Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
Amen. Amen.
How do you get to that stage? It's by bathing yourself with the word of God. Because when Satan comes, he's not going to come unexpectedly. He's going to come the way that you can least imagine. He'll come through your friends. He'll come through your family. He'll even come through us if you let him.
Yep.
Talking loud and saying nothing.
Amen.
As members of the body of Christ, we have but one purpose, one mission, and that is to seek and save the lost. Jesus understood that. He understood his mission from God. John chapter 6 and verse number 38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. And don't miss that. Death is on its way. The worms has got your number.
Okay.
And if you don't believe it, just keep living the way you are. And when they come and get you, I hope and pray you know the Savior, the God of heaven. Because in the final analysis, You're going to need somebody.
Amen.
See, I can preach a funeral all day long.
Yep.
I can preach it when you leave here. But as far as I can go with you, it's to that dirt. Somebody's going to have to take you to the other side. Jesus understood that my purpose was to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Talking loud, saying nothing. How busy are you on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to Jehovah's business? How busy are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, most of the time Jehovah is a 0. And you know something? Even when you think he's a 10, the prophet Isaiah says, all of our righteousness is but filthy rags in the sight of God. You can't do enough. And church, but you ought to have the mindset, the attitude, just like you do them bills.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to pay that house payment.
Yep.
And you're going to make sure you pay it on time. You pay it before time, don't you? Because you know if you don't, they come in and get it, right?
That's right.
Well, what about this earthly house? Huh? Paul said, if this earthly house be dissolved, I'm not worried about it. I got a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And church, somewhere down the line, the believer has to reach this plateau that this world doesn't put a chokehold on us.
Amen.
Some of us got a chokehold on us and don't even know how to get out of under. And the chokehold is this world.
That's right.
But Jesus says, come unto me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. That's why I preach the gospel. Because his yoke is so easy and it frees me from everything else in the world. Amen. It does. It helps me to understand and to recognize that when I don't have, I got Jesus.
Amen.
What more do I need? He's the author and the finisher of my life. So church, what else do I need? Talking loud, saying nothing. How busy are we? Sometimes we are so busy that we forget the basic fundamental principles of just saying good morning. Amen. Sometimes we are so busy, we are so rude and obnoxious that we can't even see that we're rude and obnoxious.
Yeah.
Going to the grocery store around about the first or the third, and you see how obnoxious people are, and then you fall right on in the guy, mama. You know I'm telling the truth. But somewhere down the line, the child of God rises above that. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. How busy are we? See, we should never get so busy that we forget our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. That's the wrong text too. Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 1. Paul says, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the least you ought to be able to do.
Amen.
We ought to be able to come here every Sunday.
Amen.
52 Sundays out of a year. How many have you missed? Talking loud. I'm saying nothing. We need to understand that when we're so busy in the world, God can't perform his work in us. I better say that again. When we're so busy and caught up with the world, God can't perform in us the way he... You looking at me funny? I got some Bible.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worked up in you. God don't go to work unless you go to work. If you ain't going to do nothing, what you think God going to do? And the first thing out your mouth is, I'm blessed. I had a brother the other day told me he was blessed. He was sick, and he was near death. And I asked him, well, who blessed you? God does not bless you to do your thing. I better drop this in. You know, sometimes we think that all the blessings we have come from God. No, God does not bless you to keep you away from Him.
Amen.
Say that again.
Amen.
He blesses you to do His will.
Amen.
And the more we do His will, the more He blesses. Now, I hear you saying, well, He's riding on the just as the will is the unjust. That's right. But Ephesians chapter 3, my Bible says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. I got a blessing that everyone can have, but most people don't want it.
That's right.
You know why? It costs too much. It costs too much. Or it costs a lot to live like a child of God. It costs a lot to be able to be ridiculed and persecuted for the cause of the cross. But if you're going to make heaven your home, guess what? Bring it on. Because when you understand what He's called you for, you're never ever too busy to do His will. Final point, don't become discouraged in your Christian walk. Amen. Oh, I know sometimes, you know, I've been in organizations where they didn't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And you just throw up both hands.
Yeah.
Ever been on a job like that?
Yes.
Amen. You're doing all the work and everybody around you getting promoted.
Amen.
Some of y'all can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Make you mad, don't it? Make you want to, just go out. You know what I'm talking about. It does. But in this Christian walk, we cannot become discouraged. If no one goes and proclaim the word, somebody need to be able to go and do what God said. Paul would say these words to the church at Galatia. Galatians chapter 6. And round about verse number 9. Just don't talk this game, church. You got to walk this thing. And sometimes it's a very, very lonely walk. Amen.
Amen.
And a man's biggest foes, Jesus said, will be those of his own household.
Amen.
Sometimes the walk with the cross separates you from the cares of this world and it separates you from people.
Amen.
But children of God should never, ever grow weary in their Christian walk. You know why? That's why we're members one of another.
That's right.
See, that's why I need you here.
That's right.
Why I gotta have you here. Because when I grow weary, somebody needs to lift me up and say it's gonna be all right.
Amen.
When you grow weary, I need to be there to say it's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
We just gotta keep our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 6 and round about verse number 9. The Bible says, and let us not grow weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As therefore you have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Finally, church, talking loud, saying nothing. That is one of the most popular songs around. And unfortunately, most people talk loud and they really say absolutely nothing. But I want to encourage us as children of God, just not talk it, but let's walk it.
Amen.
Let's show the world that there's a better way, and that way is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ. We got a mission ahead of us. This is the acceptable year that you and I need to stand firm on what we believe in and show the world that in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, there's a way out. That's right. I've learned how to smile when I should be crying.
Amen.
I learned how to say thank you, Lord, in the midst of everything that goes on.
Amen.
You know why? Because He's promised me something.
That's right.
If I do something, He says, keep yourself free from the love of money.
Yes.
Learn to be content in whatever state you're in.
Amen.
That's what Paul said. Paul said, I've learned, no matter what state I'm in, therein to be content. I know how to be abound and I know how to be abased. In all things and in every way, I've learned how to be content.
Amen.
Keep yourself content. Be content with what you have. Because God has said, I'll never leave you,
amen,
nor will I forsake you.
Right.
And you know, that's what blows me away. Because right here, it's where the child of God ought to hang his hat.
Okay.
I got confidence.
Amen.
That's what Job did.
Mm-hmm.
Job said, although he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Okay.
Why? Because God shows us everything we need to know on this time side of life. It's all in the book. And the question is, if you're not in the book, you don't know what God has to offer. So with confidence, we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? All you can do to me is send me on to glory. Hey, I'm learning. Death, it ain't that bad. It is if you don't know him. But if you know who holds the world in the hollow of his hand, even in the midst of death, you can be able to go on to the other side in peace. Talking loud, saying nothing. How about you this morning? You been talking loud? Saying nothing? You been doing a little and doing nothing?
You ever did busy work?
Yeah.
Makes it look like you're doing a whole lot.
Right.
You ain't doing absolutely nothing. Isn't that how we talk? Talk loud, saying nothing. Want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. We've made this year, like every year should be, the acceptable year of the Lord. We have determined that in this place, we're going to bring folks to the cross. Our example of life is going to be in harmony with the book. And what we practice and what we teach, we're going to teach it in the spirit that it was written. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him. And that's what it's all about. And when you understand that people in the world, that's where we came from, huh?
Yeah.
And when you stop and recount what cesspool you came out of,
okay.
I heard a
Amen.
And when you understand that they need Jesus just like you needed him,
Amen.
And somebody took the time to lead me to the cross, because I tell you, I fought it.
I did too.
I fought at it. I don't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. I'm having too much fun. And I said, shut your mouth. I'm going to go hear you talk about this Jesus. And when he told me that he died on the cross to reconcile me back to God, I said, take me to the water. Why? Because he washed away all of my sins.
That's right.
Me? That little old sinner? Smoking, joking, selling,
yeah.
And put a Bible in my hand. Only, you wouldn't do that. Only God.
Only God.
Only God. And so if you're here this morning, not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you. No accident. No accident that you're here. You're here based upon God's providence. God's providence is he wants you saved. He knows you need him. He knows you need a better life.
Yes, right.
But it requires surrendering.
Amen.
And that's the hardest thing in our society.
Amen.
Is to surrender your will to God's will.
That's right.
We'll bury you in water for the remission of sin. And he'll wash them away. He'll add you to the body, to the church. And then he says he'll make you a brand new creature. Now, you got to walk by faith. Then you got to trust him, because he will take care of everything else.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you stand in need, whatever it may be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of